You're listening to the Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Welcome to episode number 85 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, it is our last show of the year, 2011. We're going to close it out with a bang. But before we do that, let me introduce you to us, ourselves, in case this is your first time listening to us for whatever god-awful reason. I am the Triforce Bearer of Courage, Iggy. Joining me, the Triforce Bearer of Power, Taser. Taser, welcome back.
All I have to say is this. Hold on, wait a second. What the hell did I just do? Oh, here we go. Oh, no, hold on, wait a minute. Where is it? Where did it go? Here we go. There was nothing Marvel-worthy for me to review this past week. Fuck you, Marvel. Fuck you in the air.
Joining us also from the city of New York, the Triforce Bearer of Wisdom, Mr. Arnold Alfred. Arnold, welcome to the show.
He's wise enough to keep his mouth shut.
Exactly. Because he knows the mafia's after him.
Oh! My bad. My mic's wigged out.
Want to try that? Mic.
Welcome to the show, Arnold. And joining us from Boston, Massachusetts, our fairy, Navi. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Hey, Ben. You suck.
That's amazing how you've never played the game, yet that's how much of a meme that shit is. Anyways.
I know, really.
As you can tell, we're probably a little bit more like stream because this is the last show of the year. obviously, without some delays. Cough, Brian's fault. This would have been episode 100, but because this is episode 85, and we're going to be a little bit more relaxed. So if we go on tangents and we don't reel it in, fuck it. This is how we roll. This is our show. No, it's my show. I'm going to do how I want it to.
It's my show.
That's right. Health insurance is up in a week, and we're going to go fucking skydiving.
Woohoo! We got 1 year to live. Might as well start living right now. But we do have some shit to talk
fuck
about.
Fuck the Mayans. What the fuck did they know?
Leave my ancestors out of this.
Your ancestors sold orange in the interstate. They didn't build no fucking pyramids.
Actually, I'm going to take a train to Boston and just whoop your ass. Anyways. speaking of that, I don't even know where I was going with that.
Fail.
Coming February of next year, let's get in a new segment. Coming January of next year, we have the Marvel Season 1 graphic line coming out, which is their basic. We did a show on this a couple of weeks, months ago, where it's original graphic novels of origin stories or beginnings of certain characters. I believe it's Fantastic Four, Daredevil, the X-Men, and Spider-Man are going to be the first four. Now, we heard about this, and of course, it got comparisons to DC's Earth One line, but they haven't done shit with it because they suck. And they've only done one, and the one that Jeff Johns and Gary Frank are supposed to do is not even coming out till May because of the New 52, blah, 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 blah. The point is DC sucks, and you should read Marvel. So now, even before these books are released, we got word of a second wave of books coming of, I believe it's July of 2012, which, get this, here's the three books. The first one will be Ant-Man Season 1. Yes, Ant-Man, the original Hank Pym. An original graphic novel about Ant-Man. Written by former Marvel editor-in-chief Tom DeFalco, of all people.
Scientist Supreme. Hank Pym,
that was
fucking useless.
That was the best Hank Pym was ever. Leave Hank Pym alone. He's awesome.
Are you going to cry and post it on YouTube?
Yes. I'll post it on our YouTube channel when I ever create one. the second one comes out August of 2012, which will be The Incredible Hulk. Season 1, which is going to be by Fred Van Lente, who wrote Amazing Spider-Man for a little while. And then finally, my one, the one I'm looking forward to, is Doctor Strange Season 1, written by Greg
Pak. Seconded. I second that motion.
I literally jizzed my pants when I saw that. An original graphic novel about Doctor Strange. So I don't know if these are going to be origin stories. I think they are, because I think the purpose of these books are supposed to be for, obviously, with Christmas coming up, you know, comic readers tend to, I know I got, this year I got my dad, in addition to his Spider-Man trilogy Blu-ray, I got him the Scott Snyder Detective Comics run hardcover. So, comic fans, and they want to get their family members some comics to read, and these are basically for them. Hey, you like the X-Men movies? Here's X-Men Season 1, blah, 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 shit like that. So these are what it's going to be. I find it very, very bold for them to not do a Iron Man or a Thor or a Captain America Season 1 because of the Avengers movie. Instead, they go with Hulk is obviously very popular and he's well-known, but to do an Ant-Man and a Doctor Strange one,
yeah, that threw me.
Balls. Especially Ant-Man. Doctor Strange not so much. But
I think it's just Ant-Man. A personal flip-off to DC in general. Like, you can't even get Batman out, but we got Ant-Man out before you, bitch.
It's kind of sad. I mean, I know you're against the original graphic novel shit, Brian, but it's
really not sad. Not as a whole. Not when it works. Certain cases, though, do bug me, a la DC Earth 1. But
I don't know.
That's a story for another day, another podcast.
Right. Hold on. You mean to tell me you've never read X-Men God Loves, Man Kills?
That's an awesome story.
You fucking fail. You fail as a comic book fan and as a you Bostonian lunatic. Seriously, you've never read that, dude?
No.
Wow. Oh, my God.
What's it called? Sorry. I'll get it for Christmas.
He just said the title, you idiot.
You failure.
X-Men God Loves, Man Kills. A
yes.
Little bit of that story was taken in X.
When was that published?
It was published with late 80s, Taser, wasn't it?
Oh, no wonder fucking why. I don't
But you should be able to find it. You should be able to find it in a good comic book store. You can check the back issue or whatever.
Because Brian doesn't want to get his dick sucked by a cute girl behind the counter.
You can just
go to Amazon. It's like $8 for the hardcover.
$8. The next time you go to a convention, check the old bins. You know, you might be
bargain bins, baby.
Seriously.
I'll start looking for it, Taser. I promise you, Taser, I will look for that book, and if I can find
bullshit.
It, I will purchase it on
Within
the spot.
In a few months, it'll be the time for you to go to a con, we'll ask you, and you'll go, oh, shit, I'm sorry, Taser, I completely forgot about it, and that girl at the store won't touch me anymore.
And that con will
Why
be
do I
City
tell you
con
people
we all fly
think?
Out there.
Fuck all of you.
Anyways, so, Brian, you said your piece, and I don't want to hear you talk anymore.
Arnold,
what are your thoughts on this?
Hey,
season one, graphic novel. These next three books.
I'm intrigued by it. I honestly haven't been paying too much attention to the solicits and stuff for the season one. I don't even think I realized that they were whole like little retellings. I kind of assumed, but I guess they're cool. I get in the effort of, you know, there's always that we're trying to bring in new readers kind of deal that. They're going with, so hopefully that will work in that regard. Like you said about it is interesting to see the minor characters, for lack of a better term, or the B-listers, so to speak, like Ant-Man and whatnot, although some people consider him A-lister. I mean, he helped found the Avengers, for crying out loud.
So what? I love Ant-Man, but he's not an A-lister.
He's good enough. He
what
can smack
his
wife like
an A-lister. He can smack on a chick like an A-lister, that's for sure.
But yeah, I honestly don't know if I'm going to pick up any of them. Maybe a character too that I haven't read that I was sort of interested in, like Doctor Strange or things like that. But honestly, this one may just completely pass me by. Maybe I'll give it a flip through in the store, and if it really something really jumps out at me or impresses me, I'll actually buy it. But this one's just under the radar for me. I'm neither excited nor am I bashing it, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, they're not necessarily, again, like I said, they're not necessarily for us. They're for the non-comic reader, the even though Borders doesn't exist because they stupidly ran their business, and Barnes & Noble sucks ass for pulling certain graphic novels, but let's get off that. Taser, you're the old-timer. You've seen these stories told time and time again since the dawn of man. What are your thoughts on the fact that Marvel chose these three characters to go with the next three?
If they chose these three characters instead of Marvel's for Prime characters, with the thinking that this is for the non-comic book reader, I call bullshit on that. Because how many non-comic book readers know who the fuck Ant-Man is? Come on now. Let's get real. Plus, yeah. Ant-Man. The name itself is not something that would make me go...
But he's a very prominent Avengers vs. Mightiest Heroes.
Yeah, if you're a comic book fan and you know this. If you're not a comic book fan...
No, in the cartoon, Avengers vs. Mightiest Heroes, he's very prominent in there. I mean... It's not that big of a stretch.
This is the non-comic book reader. And if you're a non-comic book reader, you might not even have watched the tune. You know,
my dad's not a comic book reader, and he watches the tune and loves it.
Is his mic low, or is that just me?
What?
You sound kind of low. Your mic sounds low, dude, like the old volume. I can't really hear you that great.
How's this?
Okay, that's better.
All right. If you're a non-comic book reader, and let's say you don't have Disney XD, you know, how else did you see it? Not everybody gets Disney XD. It's not like this came out on broadcast TV, all right? So, you know, let's be honest here. For that matter,
DVD
how many
sales.
People saw that French-produced Fantastic Four cartoon or even remember it? Not a whole lot of people.
All right? 6 episodes of it?
All right, some people got lucky enough to do so. A lot of people didn't. So, with the idea that this is for, you know, an introductory tale, fuck them and fuck that lie. It's a lie. It's bullshit. All right? This is just a way for them to mine other characters for interest, you know, within the comic book readers, because they're the ones who are going to be the bulk of the purchasing public in regards to this. And as far as that goes, I'm indifferent. You know, I like Hulk. I like Ant-Man. I like the concept of Doctor Strange, although for the last, 20 years, they've been trying to get him to work as a character, and he's shown it's difficult. You know, I think most fans nowadays aren't that into the...
Occult?
I don't want to say that, but they're not into, unless it's like Wiccan-y or dark and macabre. Doctor Strange's not dark and macabre, and he's not Wiccan. You know, he's straight-up old-fashioned. I point my fingers, and shit happens with Levin bolts. And
he's
whatever.
Tony Stark plus Dumbledore.
How does... See, that should be the pitch to sell anybody Doctor Strange. People would fucking love that. People love Tony Stark.
Dumbledore.
But, you know, and that, I guess that's fair, because I'm not a big Harry Potter fan, but I do get the reference. And yes,
or Gandalf, all these Stark
and Stephen Strange,
really.
Put them next to each other, they look alike, you know? So I believe I get the reference. And that would be interesting to see work, you know? But I don't think they could do Doctor Strange without having him giving him a whole lot of mishigas or whatever. You know, he can't feel happy about, you know, getting laid.
By the hoary horse of Fuggoth.
You know, he's going to have to be damaged somehow. But...
he already had his hands broken.
Beyond that. Oh. He's going to have to be like a really broken man, truly repentant, and he'll probably turn away sex like an idiot. But, I have nothing against these two characters being the host of, you know, graphic novels. I just refuse to accept the notion that, well, it's done for the non-comic book reading public. That's just such bullshit. Because how would they hear about it anyway? What? It's not like they advertise it on TV. And how many people who don't read comic books go to comic book stores and then would just stumble across it? That's not going to happen. So,
well,
you know,
I mean,
whatever.
Marvel has a deal with Starbucks where if you go into Starbucks and use their Wi-Fi, that's going to be on there. I'm sure they're going to be available digitally, so that's another way. On iTunes.
Okay, that's a possible thing, you know, digital distribution for people who might happen to stumble to Marvel, you know, non-comic book reader who might stumble to Marvel and they go, hey, this book is for non-comic book readers. I'm a non-comic book reader who's on Marvel for the first time ever. Sure, I'll give it a try. How often do you think that's going to happen?
It happened to me. It can happen before. It can happen again.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, hey, look, every comic is somebody's first. Granted, I still say the large bulk of people who buy that stuff are going to be comic book readers. They either interested in the character or might have heard something and trying it for the first time, but they're fans already, you know? So let's just be clear about that.
All right, fair enough. Okay, well, since we're talking about it, what... Marvel obviously has a plethora of characters to pick and choose from. Who else would you guys like to see in terms of an Earth...
Ben Reilly!
Season... Fuck you. a season one graphic novel about. Me?
Baby May.
What?
Baby May. You don't know about Baby May?
I remember. I would personally go with a villain. I would want to see Apocalypse season one.
That would be interesting.
See the or how, like from his Egyptian days to how he rose to power into the X-Men world. I would love to see that, an original graphic novel dedicated to Apocalypse.
I would like to see some Silver Surfer.
Just because
thrown
I've been
there.
Watching X-Men the animated series and he's featured heavy a lot, and I fucking love Apocalypse as a villain.
Like I said, I'd throw Silver Surfer into that ring just because, you know, he is around like now a lot more than I think he has been in recent years, and so I think people could use a little bit of refresher course, if not something else original. Maybe kind of intersplice the two, the origin and original material, into one. That would be interesting for me to see personally.
Omega
but
Red
hold
season
on,
one.
Dude.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck you. But a Weapon X season one.
No, I said that Omega Red. Omega Red.
No, I know. I'm saying Weapon X season one. Like, seeing all the subjects and shit. And
yeah, but
interacting.
Seen that already. I mean, there's... Then again, we've seen these before, too, so that's an argument that's not going to hold water.
Exactly. You know, it doesn't matter how many times you've seen it. It's how fresh you put the spin on it.
But like, what else could you do, though, with the Weapon X stuff, is my question. I mean...
Yeah, you know, maybe you're right.
You could do waterboarding. I mean... What were you going to say, Taser?
What character would I take in and, you know, just kind of freshen up, you know, their backstory for the modern Marvel, you know, comic book, whatever? Oh, wow, that's kind of difficult. I don't want to be stereotypical and say Black Panther because he doesn't really need it. He had one not too long ago, if I remember correctly.
Did he?
No, in that mini, what was it, the first six issues, didn't they just kind of, like, do that? You know, they kind of retouched up his backstory a bit.
You mean the Flags of Our Fathers, that little mini?
Yeah.
That was out of continuity, though. That isn't, I mean...
Are you sure?
Yeah, that's Marvel. Yeah, it was Marvel Knights, was and it's out of continuity. Yeah.
All right, I'm...
Marvel Knights is out of continuity.
Okay. All right. Wow.
Cable. Cable, right. It's Cable.
No way. That is way too confusing on Hornet's desk to go poking around. That's some 90s shit, dude. You don't even want to go fucking near that.
Jeff Loeb did.
Jeff Loeb is an idiot.
Crap.
Well, we'll come back to you, Taser. Arnold, do you have any characters you would like to see in an original graphic novel about?
Specifically centered on them? Well... That Doom book that got canceled, even though that was more like a younger Doom kind of deal and may not have been essential as, like, in-continuity backstory, still kind of set that got canceled. But Doom's a character that I think could use some freshening up just a little bit. Let me think. He's definitely one of the people that jump right on me. I would say Magneto, but I feel like they might... I could be wrong because I'm not reading it, but I feel like they might be covering that in the whole Magneto Not a Hero book.
Plus, there was Magneto Testament from a couple years ago, so...
I would like a book or a graphic novel about Mystique. And all 32 pages of it, because that's how many pages it would take, should include all of the people in the Marvel Universe that she's had sex with. That'd be a big-ass book.
What about, you know what?
An omnibus.
You know who I would like? Black Widow Season 1. Like, covering all her covert operations in Russia as they're working for the USSR.
Like, didn't she have a mini not too far back?
No, but I mean, like, this would you could tell, you could do more with it. That's what I'm saying. Like, she had an ongoing, and they did a
ballerina. There's some people that I think could benefit from it. Spider-Woman, for sure.
But, I mean, you can just hand people the Bendis stuff.
Well, you know who needs a serious, like redo? Falcon, Sam Wilson.
Yes,
he needs
totally agree. Yes.
They need to bullshit retcon that Snap Wilson crap and give him back the dignity he so rightfully deserves.
What do you mean? He has dignity. He's a badass.
Dude, he was a character who shared building with Cap for, like, how many issues back in the day? And then all of a sudden, when he finally gets his own solo shot, they turn him into a streetwise pimp.
Because that was fun.
No. Just no.
So I like Falcon. I would Luke love to see do a, with one a Falcon Season 1 graphic novel.
Falcon Season 1, I would be interested in seeing just see how they handle that whole debacle, because that was a mistake. One of their biggest mistakes.
Luke Taser, Cage, you got any? Have you thought anything yet, Taser?
Nope.
I'll say one more before we go back to Taser. Captain Britain. I would love to see a Captain Britain Season 1.
That'd be interesting.
Just because I like the idea of the magic and the superhero coming to the world, and while Doctor Strange is more supernatural than superhero, Captain Britain is superhero and supernatural mixed into one, really. Because I think his powers comes off the powers of Britain or some shit like that. So
I think there was mention of I don't want to make myself sound any more stupid than I already have, so I'm going to disregard that. But Captain Britain would be interesting to see. Maybe we'd even get some Psylocke thrown in there. You know, the old Betsy Braddock before she went all Japanese.
Yeah. Taser.
Repeat.
Have you thought of any characters you would like to see in an original graphic novel format?
I'm gonna. Simply because it kind of, this question just got dropped on me. I'm going to say, you know what, Nova. Why not? I wouldn't mind seeing Nova. You know, them redoing him and actually legitimately bumping up what, you know, Novas can do rather than the stealth, you know, the stealth bump up that kind of got done during Annihilation and everything else.
Oh, the Inhumans. I'd be down for seeing that one.
Ew, fuck Black Bolt.
Really? Fuck you.
Ew. No, I'd like to see Nova. Nova would be pretty cool.
Alright, well so Doctor Strange, so y'all guys wouldn't want to see, I guess I'm the only one who would want to see a villain with Apocalypse. What do y'all think of a Juggernaut? Or Thanos Season 1, like a Greg.
Sabretooth.
Fuck him.
What's wrong with Victor Creed, man? Nothing, Victor Creed.
He's raw. By the way, his scream in the X-Men cartoons fucking annoying. So is Rogue's. God, like, I would wear that shit with headphones and Rogue would scream like, my ears are bleeding. Stop screaming, bitch. You're worse than Banshee.
Interesting. What if we got, like, an Avengers Season 1? Something
there's
like
so
that.
Many trades with, like, Avengers coming together. It's not even...
Yeah, it's true. Okay, never mind.
Well, let's move on to something on this topic. Coming in summer of 2012, The Amazing Spider-Man, directed by Mark Webb, is coming out. But apparently, another critically acclaimed director was approached to direct the Spider-Man movie after Sam Raimi, which was going to be David Fincher. David Fincher, most notably known from The Social Network and, of course, his upcoming movie, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, based on the novel by Stieg Larsson. Go read the book, damn it. And apparently, they talked to him recently. He's doing press for the movie, and... here's what he said, and quote, "My impression with Spider-Man would have been very different from what Sam did or what Sam wanted to do. I think the reason he directed that movie was because he wanted to do a Marvel comic superhero. I was never interested in the Genis story. I couldn't get past..."
Wasn't that Star Trek?
Shut up. "I couldn't get past the guy getting bit by a red and blue spider. It was just a problem. It was not something that I felt I could do straight-faced. I wanted to start with Gwen Stacy and the Green Goblin, and I wanted to kill Gwen Stacy." And he goes on to say, "The title sequence of that movie that I was going to do was basically be a 10-minute, basically a music video and opera, which was going to be a one shot that took you through the entire Peter Parker backstory, bit by radioactive spider, the death of Uncle Ben, the loss of Mary Jane, which could either mean death, or she left him, or he left her, or their marriage got erased by Mephisto, or something like that. Is going to begin with Peter Parker meeting Gwen Stacy. It was a very different thing. It wasn't the teenager story. It was much more of the guy who settled into being a freak." Which, I have a problem with that because I've never seen every incarnation of Spider-Man, I've never seen Peter saying, "I'm okay with being seen as the freak." He's okay with being the hero, he doesn't even see himself as a freak. He sees... The public may see himself as a freak because the public doesn't really know Spider-Man Peter Parker. So that part's a little bothers me. As we were talking about this pre-show, it doesn't seem all that different from what he would have, what Spider-Man 3 was going for anyways. You know, or what the direction the franchise was going to go. So, David, stick to books about people who are assholes and evil and rapists. Stick to those shit. Leave Spider-Man alone. Taser, do you have anything to add to this topic real quick?
Yeah, nothing about what he said he wanted to do sounded not in the least. The only difference was he would have actually done a story involving Gwen Stacy rather than just have her. Yeah, she's a girl that kind of came into his life, but he still mostly got eyes for Mary Jane. Beyond that, nothing else he said, made any difference. It was bleh.
Brian, what about you?
First of all, I'd like to point out that your obsession with the girl with the dragon tattoo is unhealthy, especially considering the content of that book.
It's an awesome troll.
Second of all, I don't know. I mean, it kind of worked with Incredible Hulk, but I feel like this would be an entirely different direction considering who the character is. Like, this is, like, Spider-Man. He's supposed to be, one of the most emo characters in the book, and then he's supposed to be all happy and go lucky about life. Then he's supposed to get shat on further, and then he's back to being emo.
Do I have to kick you? Please don't make me do that today.
Okay, fine. Anyway, as far as Fincher's vision for Spider-Man goes, I don't think it would have worked in any way, shape, or form. Just strictly because the notion of Spider-Man accepting his... Well, he's always done that. I mean, granted, he's argued with it nearly every other story arc, but still, it's who Spider-Man is, as far as seeing it in a movie, I don't think it would have worked at all, as I mentioned, just because, you're trying to give these fans a story to feed off of, and by, trying to pull something like this out of your ass, I don't know, it just doesn't seem, natural, Like, who wants to see Spider-Man brood in a corner for 2.5 hours because he's a freak, and then all of a sudden he'll come out of it and be like, I'm okay.
If they're
going to
do a freak aspect, they should do him as the man spider.
That's what should be saved for, friggin' X-Men and shit. That shouldn't be Spider-Man. Granted, Spider-Man is close to being a mutant, but still.
Arnold, what about you? What do you think of Fincher's his approach to what Spider-Man should have been?
I just wanted to see Gwen Stacy thrown off a bridge.
Snap.
Quite literally. Snap. No, all jokes aside, while, because that story would have been very heart-wrenching and emotional and such, I think it could have been cool. It's another route. It's another take. We'll never know what could have been from that story. Yeah, the little tidbits we got could have sounded great, but everything else surrounding those tidbits could be complete, pure, utter garbage. It's very hard to beat the garbage that was Spider-Man 3, but that's a story for another time.
Hold on, wait a second, hold on. Hold a second.
Okay.
I've been to the movies with A-Train, and I know there's no fucking way that he would have been all upset and heart-wrenched. He'd have been cackling along with
it's true. Hence why I said I just wanted to see Gwen Stacy thrown off a bridge. I opened it with that. We already know I'm an asshole. I confirmed it in the beginning of this.
The whole notion of you calling it heart-wrenching, heart wouldn't have wrenched.
I didn't say
that at all.
I didn't say for me.
All right. Fair enough.
I'm such a little crybaby. I'm not even going to lie.
I said it would. I didn't say for me. I would be upset for a millisecond before the 18 jokes I wanted to make popped into my head. But that being said, again, we may never know what could have come from it. But considering the director and some of the ideas thrown behind it, I'm kind of intrigued. I would have loved to see what would have come out with it. What would have come out of it, excuse me. Maybe this Spider-Man wouldn't be wearing running shoes like our new Spider-Man's about to be doing. But yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it. It sounds cool, it sounds interesting, but speculating as to what could have been after the fact can only take you so far, so it could have been interesting, it could not have been, but the director is on point, and he's pretty well known for doing some really, really good stuff, so it could have been really good.
Alright, fair enough. All right. Let's close that topic. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo in theaters Wednesday, December 21st. Go see it. The feel-bad movie of the Christmas season. I want people to fucking know the awesomeness that is this book, damn it, and the awesomeness that will be this movie.
Did you mention the torture and rape in the movie?
It's not for kids. All right. Well, let's go to our book of the week, which we're really going back to 1994. Avengers X Sanction number 1. Jeff Loeb returns with his partner in crime, Ed McGuinness. reuniting to like, Cable. Jeff Loeb's returning to Cable because he wrote it back in the 90s for a little bit. Here's the story. Cable's back. Hope apparently gets taken away by the Avengers before she has the opportunity to save the world. Cable gets mad. Cable wants to take down the Avengers.
Boring, she will. I think you're explaining it a little wrong.
Over.
I think you're explaining it a little bit wrong. When you explain it like that, it sounds boring.
It's boring. It read as boring.
But that's you made it just that one. Hope hasn't even been kidnapped by the Avengers yet.
That's what we're told in the story, that the Avengers are going to want to kidnap her.
They will. You're saying it like it's happened already. Tell the story correctly.
In one future, it has.
Tell the story correctly.
Cable is told that the Avengers are going to kidnap Hope's, and because Cable is Hope's father, Cable wants to prevent that, so he's going to take out the Avengers. Because that's how badass he is, apparently. And I didn't add this into it, but Cable, the techno-organic virus that is at Cable, is obviously it's eating away at him. And if you've seen future covers, he's all covered in metal out like a cyborg. So yeah, the only good thing about this was the art. Because it was Ed McGuinness, and he's, you know, I really enjoy the art. I really enjoy his art, and this is crazy, bulked up, larger than life figures. But other than that, this was typical. It was I think I nodded off when I was reading it. I'm not sure or not, but it was boring. I won't be back for issue two. 2 out of 5. It gets to 2 because of the McGuinness art, but it wasn't the strongest that I've seen before. Yeah, it was boring. Don't pick this up. Arnold, I know you have opposite feelings to me, but
No, it's not necessarily opposite feelings, because I actually just reread the issue, and nowhere in it does it say that Hope was kidnapped by the Avengers.
It said she was going. I mean, something happened to Hope.
I quote.
Then he has to go left, and then the thing tells him it's the Avengers. So therefore, the Avengers kidnap Hope at one point in time in the future.
You don't. What they very well could have killed Hope.
He blames it's the Avengers' fault some way or another.
Right, and I quote: if Hope had been there. What happened to her? What happened to my daughter? The world couldn't be saved because Hope wasn't there to save it. Nowhere does it say that she was kidnapped, killed, murdered, mutilated, ripped in half, or disappeared by any member of the Avengers.
Then why is he going after the Avengers then?
Simple, because Cap...
He knows that they're part of one of the reasons.
There you go. She got a taste of America.
I'm just saying... The Avengers did something, because they hate dirty, rotten mutants.
And that's just fine.
They pulled the train on her.
Oh. Brian, what about you? What did you, or Arnold, do you have any more thoughts on this issue?
No, not really. Actually, I liked it. I was honestly indifferent and on the fence about picking up this book, but seeing that it's only 4 issues, and it does lead into the whole, I forget what it is. There's no storyline coming. Yeah, there we go. That whole deal is coming into play. So, I'm more intrigued about this book for how Cable came back, where he's been, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, like all the little parts that happened with that. That's what I'm looking forward to as this part of the book, and I hope it does get touched on in here. If not, it's almost guaranteed it's going to get touched on in the whole X-Men thing, because it's not like nobody's going to ask him how did he get back, especially with Hope around. So, I was digging it. I wasn't expecting much of it, as I never expect anything too huge or major out of a number one. It was your basic exposition, setting up all the characters, setting up all the players, so to speak, and I'm sure there'll be plenty more of that coming. I honestly pictured this 4-issue mini to be nothing but said prelude to the next event coming up, a la X-Men Schism, or the pre-Schism. Whatever it was, and hopefully it'll actually lead into something that happened, unlike that X-Men book. Yeah, all in all, I'll give it a 3 out of 5.
Thank you for the opposing view, Arnold. Brian, Deadpool's favorite cohort is Cable. What did you think of Cable's quote-unquote return in Avengers X-Nation number 1?
As far as the storyline goes, I honestly didn't hate it. What did bother me though is that it just felt really thin. They gave us this, but it didn't feel like there was enough going on to hold my interest. So maybe it was a little boring in that sense, but I don't hate the story. I'm gonna clear that up right now. I don't hate the story. It's just the fact that the book didn't have a lot of it didn't have enough content to keep me interested, I guess is what I'm saying, you know. Because, like I'd said pre-show, I'd seen the beginning of the issue maybe 4 or 5 times in like 10 different books or something like that. I'd seen the beginning over, and I pretty much just skipped right through that, jumped right to the scene where Falcon's getting, you know, dragged up by Cable. But as far as any of your notions go, you know, I don't hate the story. I don't hate where the story is going, and I'll be picking up X-Men vs. Avengers as time goes on. I'll still be picking up this series as well, but I just felt like for a number one issue, it didn't feel like, if any normal non-comic grade person would pick this up and try and read this, I don't think they would pick up the issue number two. But, you know, we're comic fans. We know better. Some of us are more disappointed than others, obviously, but, you know, that's how we learn. I guess where I would go from here is just to say that I'll reserve final judgment on the series, I don't know, until over halfway through, just because I do feel like there's more to be said for this, and just because it didn't get said here doesn't mean it won't be mentioned in, you know, later issues, so I'll hold on to that. But just on a quick little side note, who the hell is Blacksmith? Anyone?
Yeah, I had no idea who that was.
Yeah, he kind of showed up, and he plays kind of a pivotal role. He's the one who gets Cable to go back in the first place, and I have no idea who...
apparently, you know, he does look like a Morlock, but he also he referred to him as somebody, old friend. Old, really?
I don't even know who the hell he is, and it's kind of, I don't know. Point is, the issue, while it wasn't the best, it was lackluster as far as how much content there was, but the story itself, I'm not disinterested in, so I'll leave it at that. I'll give it, 2.5 out of 5.
All right, Taser. Please tell me you shared the same opinions as me, please.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. The story itself, and this is a guy who just likes things to blow up. I wasn't that thrilled with it. I'll give it a credit. It didn't really waste a whole lot of time. It just kind of jumped into the middle of what? Hope's in trouble. Bam, bam, bam. But I don't know. Granted, you have a guy who, last he remembers, he was about to die, and he knows that he's kind of pressed for time, but I don't know. I guess I just don't buy that Cable would just go, well, I'm on a ticking time clock, so screw thinking about anything. I'm just dropping people.
I disagree with that as well, because while I don't agree that we got enough, I do agree we don't got enough in this issue, I do believe that Cable acting as a father to Hope would definitely jump the gun on this one, especially if it meant Hope.
He acted like somebody from Texas. Somebody gonna kill my daughter? Time to kiss him.
No,
you mean like Kane?
I don't buy that he would just take one person's word over something as vague as something happens to Hope and the Avengers are responsible. This felt like a 90s book to me. You know,
it is Jeff Loeb. I mean, he comes from that era.
But there wasn't any time travel. Well, actually, yes, there was time travel.
Well,
so, yeah, it is a 90s. The whole thing is time travel.
No,
yeah,
like
I know.
I said, I get that he's running on borrowed time. I get that. But I don't know. I didn't buy the speed. This happened in issue one. If this was issue two, I guess I'd kind of be, okay, yeah, fine. It happened in issue one, and, you know, and the first thing he did was take down Falcon, which is like, okay.
That was his big
okay.
Impact shot.
Falcon was bait. Falcon was purely bait.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But he dropped Falcon, and he didn't drop anybody else because he knew Cap would come? Really? Like, wouldn't you have dropped, like, Falcon and Iron Man, you think?
That's next issue.
Yeah, right.
I want to know how he got his arm back.
Let's not ask those questions.
Time travel, that's
Let's
your
not
answer.
Ask those questions.
I want to know.
Time
travel, Arnold. Time travel.
It was fun to see Captain America hold a gun again. You don't see that too damn often. And a gun with lethal abilities, too. But I don't know. This book, it wasn't special. You know, it was kind of ordinary. It wasn't stellar at all. I didn't feel moved greatly. I don't know if I want to stick around to find out exactly what all is going on. I don't know if I care that much. So I have to share Ig's review with this, and I have to give it a 2 out of 5.
Which means I win. So there was another big book that came out this week that, you know, it's not officially our code book of the week, but it was such an epic conclusion. I feel like we should talk about it. Taser's going to sit this one out because he didn't read it. But Uncanny X-Force number 18, part Woo-hoo! 7 of the Dark Angel saga, and the ending of this first year of Uncanny X-Force came to a conclusion, and by God, it was the best it was one of the best single issues of the year. And probably the best conclusion of the year and best moment of the year. Most emotional moment of the year. And think about this. I don't know how many people realize this, but the fact that arguably the most critically acclaimed, talked about, best story, best single issue that a lot of people are talking about this, while Wolverine is on the cover, Wolverine isn't in this. It's Phantom X, Deathlok,
Archangel,
and that's it. And
Psylocke. It's got Psylocke.
And Psylocke. That's it. Which goes to prove that you can use the big characters and then just throw them away for a little bit to be about them. That whole sequence, that single page of Psylocke stabbing Archangel. Great artwork by Jerome Pena. That was just beautiful.
It was awesome.
It was beyond awesome. It was beyond
awesome. It was so sick to the max.
And it is 1994 up in this piece again. But even better was apparently Archangel, you know, she's going to die. And Betsy, it's still the man she's in love with. And possibly the best things of this year in comics, in which she telepathically connects to his mind and does sort of a flash forward of this is your life. They have kids. They grow old together, and sort of because he's dying, and like he gets to experience all these, but he doesn't really. He's just fooling him, and it ends with Archangel on his deathbed, and basically him saying, you know, I don't deserve anybody like you. Sometimes I would just look out.
You're too good for me.
And sometimes I would just look out and just think that this is all gonna go away. And, you know, Psylocke basically saying goodbye to him, and it's like, you're my hero. And
were you blasting on Alanis Morissette in the background when you were reading this?
It's like rain.
She didn't make the mutant in that flashback, though.
I'm just saying that
was... Why did she stab him?
You could... Huh?
Why did she stab him?
Because he was going to destroy everything. He turned...
He was essentially... He was running on the mind of Apocalypse, basically.
Yeah.
He was going to turn their world into the Age of Apocalypse world, pretty much.
And they
he ascended to the throne of Apocalypse himself as Archangel, the Angel of Death.
They had to bring him down. So basically, it was fitting. I think all of us should agree that Betsy was the one to do it, that she had to be the one.
If it was Phantom X, it would have felt so much more cheap, just really.
Yeah, so it had to have been Betsy. Even Wolverine wouldn't have been justified. It had to
I wouldn't have been opposed to Genesis bringing him down, some sort of morbid irony. That would have been hilarious.
Yeah, that would have been interesting. But then we get the twist ending in which they're leaving. They're about to get on the ship to go home. And Betsy sees something out of the corner of her eye. And lo and behold, it's a whole bunch of wings. It's Warren. He's alive. Huzzah. She goes up to him. She kisses him. He pushes her back. And it's the last panel. And he just says, "Who are you?" The end. And it was like, it still doesn't make the Archangel death feel, the Angel, Archangel, whatever, death feel cheap. That those single moments still feel powerful. But also, of course, it's comics, and Remender knows this, the serialization of this. You got to keep the story continuing. So then you throw the twist curveball ending at the end. I'm like, how the fuck did this happen? Because, you know, you have this Angel, but apparently it looks like those are metallic wings.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're not feathery wings, but he doesn't have memory. So now, like, I was a little worried about what's coming after. Now I'm interested, like, what's the deal here?
Well, I have speculation on it. I'll save it for when I review it. So.
All right. But this 5 out of 5 for Uncanny X-Force 18 for me, Marvel, collect these first. If you're a comic reader and you like good stories and you like, and you may necessarily not like the big characters, and you like the Age of Apocalypse storyline, these first 18 issues, these are your babies. Go read these. Arnold, I know you agree with me that this was awesome, but do you have anything else to add to this issue?
Not too much. A lot of fun. Even with all the craziness and destruction going on, this book was still fun. It had some shining moments of just, you know, well, at least one shining moment of comical nature, I guess. Dark Beast commenting on the fact that apparently Apocalypse used to do a shit ton of opium back in the day. I shit you not. And he said something to the effect of, now I understand why, like, you know, why he would induce himself in all those opium binges and shit. I thought that was, you know, slightly amusing. Nothing that I was, you know, guffawing at or anything. I thought it was cool. My roommate actually brought this up. Is it safe to assume that the person in the giant glass tube was supposedly the Apocalypse we shot in the head a little earlier?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because Phantom X took him away and was trying to, I guess.
But I did. I almost completely forgot about that until my roommate brought it up. And
yeah, he's just been in the world chilling in Phantom X's pocket.
So that was interesting. But he's pretty much dead from the looks of things, even though his name is Life. Yeah, so much for that.
Well, it says the kid is secure, so we're not really sure what.
Well, and with a name like Genesis, it's like having a name like Phoenix. Like, you know, it's almost always guaranteed you're coming back or restarting something all the time. So, but I really, really dug this issue. Again, Uncanny X-Force has easily been one of the most consistent good books. Like, I don't think I've come across an issue yet where I felt like I wasted money or I was kind of just like, eh, this was all right. You know, I really enjoyed pretty much every issue that's come out from it, every storyline involved. I like the characters, I like the progression that it's going, and I'm really excited to see where it's going next. That ending, I swear, had no chance of seeing happening at all, especially the whole, mostly the Angel coming back part of it. You know, Betsy killing Archangel slash Apocalypse slash Warren, you know, it was kind of a given. We knew that was going to happen. It's kind of something that they were dropping all the hints along as the story progressed, focusing on them constantly, always referencing the fact that she's like his rock or his tether or, you know, all of the help that she's been giving him. It would obviously make sense that she would have to be the one to do it.
It's an Angel story, you know? I mean,
right, exactly, you know. But I really dug it. I liked also some of the taunting stuff. I can't remember who was saying, oh, it was Phantom X, where he was like, you know, she never really loved you, she pitied you, she chose me.
Just by how I kissed her, she's like, she hadn't felt warmth in a very
exactly,
long time.
Yeah, like, even that, whether, you know, there was some truth, I'm sure there was a hint of truth in it, but just for more antagonizing purposes, I thought it was fun, and I was totally waiting for Phantom X to catch it, and then he caught it in the head pretty bad. Which was also just highly entertaining. But yeah, I could go on and on and on about this book, but I really dug it. I really like the Dark Angel saga, and we don't have to wait long for the next issue because Dark Angel only came out next week, and 19's coming out the week after that.
So you who say you want good comics and are not Uncanny X-Force, pick up issue 19 coming out next week.
Hell, pick up the first, get back issues, people. Come on.
Back issues just and start. Issue 19.
Just
go,
start
go on a bend
with X-Force
and buy all
after,
of them.
Yeah, start with X-Force.
Pick up 19.1 and when it releases. Pick up that issue. Start off.
Go to Marvel.com and download all of them for about $20. Boom, there you go.
Yep, there it is.
All right, Brian, you have any other praise to say to this issue?
So much to just heap into one show. First of all, Deadpool is, for all intents and purposes, alive. Yay. Second of all,
in this book.
Yeah, give it a little while. He'll die eventually. Yeah, this issue was just amazing, just because it was so, you know, it was so tragic to see what just, you know, as far as what happened with Warren and Betsy and both of them. On the subject of how Archangel, you know, or how he bit it and then all of a sudden Warren's back, keep in mind that he was stabbed with the life seed, quote-unquote. I'm not exactly sure what properties that imbued or was going to imbue in the Earth, but I assume that if, essentially, seeing as how he was stabbed by it, I assume it would in some ways or form regenerate him, but that could just be me, you know, going off conjecture and all that shit. Interesting thing about Genesis. Genesis was very... I'm really interested to see how that works. I feel like his first appearance kind of bottomed out, especially since he got bitch-slapped by Warren. But I do think it's an interesting thing, because we've always seen Apocalypse. We've absolutely always seen him as the villain. We've never really seen him as a true-to-life hero. So to see an Apocalypse, you know, who sort of lived a happier life and is now a hero, it's definitely something interesting to see. So I'll be looking forward to that. And... again, I don't think there's no way this is completely done. There's no effing way, because this story was just way too big to not have at least After Effects. And Ben, one thing, I'm not even sure if this happened to you or Arnold, but it happened to me. I was so caught up in the ending and what happened that I almost failed to notice that apparently Archangel knocked up Pestilence.
Yeah, she's
nice.
She's carrying the
heir of Archangel.
Yeah. So we have that little plot line out there. That's more com. That's also what commentary.
Yeah. So you know, there's that. I got so confused. I didn't even realize that until I went back and reread. I'm like, shit.
Remender's not done with these. I mean, this.
Oh
this
no is, way.
But it feels like. But the thing is, it feels like an ending. It ended. You know, they killed Warren. They killed Archangel.
A definitive conclusion. And the thing that I get that really just makes me giggle off of this is the fact that, you know, with all the shit that's happened, like Schism and Messiah War, this thing was probably one of the most jaw-dropping greatest X-Men stories without even bothering to try, and it's just it's my favorite current X-Men series right now. This is my favorite storyline. I mean, this blew, Schism and, like I said, all those stories out of the water without even, you know, trying. And it was just amazing to see how Remender did it.
Yeah.
Because, again, Remender and Opeña, they're in a fantastic team. And I cannot wait to see more from them.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that was Brian Fearless Powers jizzing in his pants as he gave a review.
They're so
I didn't read it, but it's that good.
Oh, it is just a great series. And we still have the Aftermath issue and then the start of the next Age of Apocalypse, I believe, which isn't necessarily what you think it is if you picked up the Marvel point one. But, so yeah, this series, it gets 5 out of 5. From the whole storyline is just 5. The whole series gets a 5 out of 5. It's amazing.
The trifecta 5 out of 5?
Yes, it is a trifecta 5 out of 5. The Triforce of 5, that is what it
is. Triforce 5!
That's right. Uncanny X-Force is Mighty Warriors 3, Marvel, Triforce 5, certified.
Yes. So let's go. We're gonna go individual reviews. Quickly, I want to talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. number 4. Not a lot. I mean, because it's bi-monthly, because of Dustin Weaver, because he can't draw really fast, there's a sequence in which the Nathaniel Richards and Howard Stark and all these other people have to they each go to the future, the end of man, the next step of man, and the renewing of man, the rebirth of man. And it's basically, if you look, and it kind of takes you a while to get used to it, the same structure, in terms of panels, in terms of dialogue, with some things change, like this is the next step of man, this is how the world ends, this is how the world begins, this is how the world evolves to the next stage, and how the enemy
Tesla?
No, not Tesla.
Isaac Newton.
There you go. Isaac Newton.
Beethoven.
Isaac Newton is coming together. And apparently
Wolfgang von Beethoven.
Each of these plays a part. Each of these guys play a part in this. It's kind of hard to describe it unless you're reading the book. I mean, this was phenomenal. The art, on the other hand, was a little less spectacular than I'm used to. It just didn't feel as grand as I thought it would be. It's still good, but I don't know. The story itself was more plot-driven than letting up the art. But yeah. It gets a 4 out of 5 for this. I can't wait to see how Hickman wraps up this story. Brian, did you have anything you wanted to talk about specifically?
Yeah, I'll throw out a quick mention of Carnage USA number 1. It's not. It is not by any stretch of the imagination an intellectual or integral series to Marvel U, but it is nonetheless entertaining. It is just Cletus Cassidy going off crazy off his rocker on a little tiny town in small town America, basically. Him and his kind of Carnage symbiote infect an entire town, and you know, eventually the Avengers go to investigate, and you know, Spider-Man is included, so there's that whole angle going on. And there's really not much else to do besides the fact that, you know, Carnage takes over the town, there's monsters, the Avengers come in, and then, you know, that's the end of the first issue, essentially. But there was something interesting, and if you'll just give me one moment, what happened was, in the end, spoiler for any of you who haven't read it, I'm about to go to the end of Carnage USA, so if you haven't read it, you want to read it, turn off now, mute, whatever. Eventually, at the end of the issue, what we get is Captain America, Hawkeye, The Thing, and Wolverine all taken over by Carnage, and Spider-Man is held hostage by Carnage himself. And so what we see is we see the U.S. government planning a response to this, which is essentially a team of five symbiote-infected people, including Venom, Anti-Venom, Toxin,
but Eddie Brock doesn't have his powers anymore.
Well, that's the thing. It's listed as inactive, and so what they're doing is, I think they have some sort of way to reinstill that power inside it. I'm not entirely sure how it works, because it really only, it's only one frame. It's one frame, and then it's the end of the issue. It is the end of the issue, basically. But essentially, what we get is them assembling a team of symbiotes, like Anti-Venom, Venom, and Toxin. Oh, God, I don't know how they...
Like, the other Toxin and shit like that are not in it, are they?
Not in this issue, but
God,
they will
please
be.
God help me if those are in it.
They're coming up, Patrick Mulligan.
I always wondered what happened to Toxin.
Oh God, don't.
Well, he'll be showing up in Carnage USA. So there's Venom, Toxin, Anti-Venom, Scorn, and then Hybrid. Two people who I've never heard of.
I'm so glad. I would have been fucking pissed had I picked this up.
So like I said, it's not an intellectual series by any stretch of the imagination. It's barely worth your time if you're not a Carnage fan. So unless you're like a hardcore like symbiote Spider-Man fan, don't bother picking it up because you won't enjoy it. Because I barely enjoyed it, and you know, but it does have its moments.
Carnage is a miniseries. Scarlet Spider is an ongoing. The world is coming to an end.
This is the second miniseries too. The first one apparently was so successful that he got a sequel series.
People like symbiotes. You're gonna have.
Symbiotes, and I like Venom, but Carnage sucks. Arnold.
Carnage is all. He's way better than Venom.
No, he's not. That's a lie.
He's better in your... He's worse in your opinion.
People should agree with me because I'm from Texas and I
have a gun. No, they really shouldn't. They shouldn't. And they agree with you so much that they shove Scarlet Spider there.
Fucking Marvel.
Give in to the hate.
Tale, be careful what you wish for and it ends up in your own family or in your own back door. Welcome to that.
Arnold, do you have anything you want to talk about real quick?
Not really.
Did you read New Adventures?
Did I read New Avengers? I did read New Avengers.
No, would you agree that was meh? Because I agree I thought that was meh.
It was kind of meh. It was another whole issue of Osborn kind of setting up his peeps and then his crew and all of that. And when Osborn's involved, we'll always get that because Osborn likes hearing himself talk.
I don't like that he's going to go to the media again. I don't like that.
How do we feel? Do we really think? Because I know they've touched on it a little bit.
He's going to lose. Superior,
like that. No, I'm not even talking about that. Do we truly think that Victoria Hand is 100% still working for Osborn?
She sent them to a wrong place.
She sympathizes. She sympathizes.
With Osborn.
She said it before. Yeah, we know that, but is she helping him? That's the question, and I think she is.
I think she is, too. What I want to know is, how the fuck is Osborn still free?
Because the Avengers are incompetent, that's why.
No! Regardless of whether the Avengers go after him, what about the U.S. District Attorneys. He's a federal criminal.
The Marvel Universe. That shit doesn't play out here.
And showed up at a fucking press conference.
Hey, that comes out next week.
Exactly.
We're gonna see criminals get all the get taser. Come on, this is comics.
Criminals
get away in comics. The Punisher is still running around.
No. I don't have a problem with him getting away and then doing stuff and then ranting and talking about blah 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 blah. What I have a problem with is him escaping and then going, hey, I'm holding a press conference. La 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 la.
He wasn't
and
really
no law enforcement is going, hey, he's over there. We should get there too before the Avengers show up. The Avengers should not be the first one on the scene. Law enforcement should be the first one
on
the scene.
And what are they going to do against his team? They're going to get killed.
Doesn't mean that they shouldn't still be there.
That's true, but I'm just saying they would have.
Especially in a world that's still blaming the Avengers for all of the problems that they're having.
They're the Occupy Wall Street people hate the Avengers.
When does Osborn deal with Wonder Man? Because, you know, Wonder Man was on a bit of a roll with that kick for a while. Why doesn't he join up with Osborn?
Because that story is officially over with.
Oh, that's bullshit. That was such a good one.
At this point, I don't think they're going to do it. I mean,
that's bullshit, because Wonder Man and his team wrecked the New Avengers, and to just leave it hanging like that is disappointing to me personally.
But I mean, where is it going to fit? I mean, it doesn't fit anywhere what they're going to do.
They should team him up with Osborn if he's going to be that way. It would make sense.
Simon Williams hates the idea of the Avengers.
What is better than Osborn's support group he has now hating the Avengers? Having other Avengers support
Simon
him
Williams
in
doesn't
it.
Want any Avengers at all.
Simon
that's
Williams
the thing.
Now view himself as a criminal, though.
I'm not saying he wouldn't turn on them. I'm saying just because he's anti-Avengers doesn't mean that he's pro-Osborn.
Exactly.
So who's to say he won't turn on him then? Who's to say that he couldn't just lure him in?
Because the way I understand it, he's against the idea of Avengers, period. It doesn't matter what name that they have behind them. New, old, green, white, orange, Osborn, dark, light. He's just against the concept of Avengers, period.
Oh, that was racist. I told you people it was going to be a relaxed show, and this is how I am. But no, Brian, I don't hate Asian people. They're just rude to me and they throw their shoes at me. I don't think Osborn.
What are you, Bush?
Little cars.
Oh my god. That reminds me of Austin Powers' random task. The guy who flung his shoe at him.
I just don't think, as much as Simon Williams hates the Avengers idea, he wouldn't back up Osborn. This isn't Tony Stark in Civil War, who teamed up with villains to get shit done.
But Osborn is a villain.
Yeah, he would, and therefore Simon Williams would. I honestly think they scrapped that idea. Now to Avengers versus X-Men. I mean, think about it. You have Avengers versus X-Men coming up. You have this storyline going on, and then Bendis still wants to do that Ultron storyline, and then he's wrapping up his run. Where in the hell is the whole?
I know there was supposed to be an annual. They promoted an annual on the back of that issue. Yeah, I know. It disappoints me very, very
no,
much.
No, you know what storyline needs to get to be done with, over and done with? Jessica and the whole, I don't know what to do. My baby might be in trouble. I'm tired of that. Seriously.
Yeah, didn't you hire a babysitter specifically for that?
It doesn't matter.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why are you sitting worrying about it?
Yeah, she's never, they're never going to let that go because she's a mother. And she's got a baby.
Which is why I'm so glad Endgame was never made a mom, because that's exactly what have happened.
Oh, please, look at freaking Sue Storm. Sue Storm had freaking Franklin Richards put his ass up in a big-ass building. She wasn't worried about the baby 24/7. And look what her husband could do. He could stretch. She got a fucking tank for a husband, and she's like, oh, my baby.
Not only is he a tank, but he's...
She can do more than Sue Storm.
He's one of the technical geniuses of... He's, anyways.
No, he's
her babysitter took down
shit.
Dr. Doom. She can't, you know, ease up for a minute.
Because Jessica Jones, y'all don't have a lot. I've read Alias. I don't know how much y'all have, but she's very pessimistic. That's who she is as a character. She's very much thinking anything can go bad at one point in time or another.
Well, that's because she was the first one to give up butt sex in a comic, and that was, of course, the case. So,
Jesus Christ. Also, the Purple Man fucked with her. I mean, I don't know. To me, it seems fit that she would still act like this. Technically, she still is a new mom, even though she's had the baby for 4 years. Remember,
come on!
It's still technically...
That story...
Yeah, I know in terms of us reading it, it's been a while and get over with, but in terms of how long she's actually been a mother, that baby's, what 4 months old, maybe 5?
No, but what I'm saying is, didn't they actually kind of resolve her with, you know, that issue with her? I believe they did. And
she's a mother. No mother will ever truly, especially she's an Avenger, will ever truly feel safe. She'll occasionally get those moments where, like, I need to be with my baby right now.
Really?
I think so. Because that's how a mom would be. If something dangerous were to happen, she could have all the confidence in the world in the sibling watching the baby or the aunt, uncle watching the baby.
There's a big Mexican family joke in there somewhere, and by God, I'm going to find it.
Hey, all I'm saying is this. We don't see Tiger going through this. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Jessica Tiger? Like I said, Jessica Jones is a pessimist. That's who she is as a character. She thinks anything can bad and will go bad at any given point in time. She may be better at controlling it now, but that's who she is as a character. in terms of what I've read her.
That's a drag on the freaking book. You know, the only thing
I'll agree to that.
Kind of negated it, you know, because it was, you know, on the other side of the coin, and it made me laugh, but it's also kind of something that I don't know if I want to see continue, would be Spider-Man messing with Hand.
I love that.
Spider-Man fucking with Hand is just funny, but it's like, okay, yeah, they kind of have to do something with her.
I hope he punches her. I want Spider-Man to punch her.
Better yet, angry sex.
Peter is single right now. I mean, he could do it.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
But he.
Oh yeah, that's true. Forgot about that. That's
associated with Osborn, he won't. He did with Gwen because he never knew.
Oh God, JMS, why? That happened after him anyway.
Real quick, we're gonna wrap up the show, but I want to talk about this. Did y'all hear? I don't know y'all not on Twitter that much, but the fanboy that JMS was being like, look at my dick. He posted on Twitter the sales charts of Amazing Spider-Man after he left. And how the sales dropped dramatically, and the editor of Spider-Man and Mark Wade called him out on it, and Mark Wade did a response on this, and basically he ended it with him saying, "You know what? You know, instead of ranting more about you, Joe, I'm gonna go for a long, boring walk across America, but not finish it."
That's funny.
So yeah, I love JMS, but he lost two. He lost a lot of respect for me for like, hey, look at my dick, and look at after it after I left.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty low. I get it. I love you, JMS, but come on. I mean,
I try not to let shit like that bother me.
No, you know what sucked about that whole walk across America? What sucked about that is he told that story knowing that he wasn't going to finish it because he knew Flashpoint was coming and it would never get completed. He said that.
Yeah.
He said that.
Which makes
and that right there was like,
which is unprofessional as a writer. It's unprofessional. You're gonna abandon something that you said you were gonna do, and you know, it's whatever. Let's wrap this up because I guarantee you WS isn't gonna like this show for whatever reason or another.
Because our editing sucks, and there's too many black people. Too many black people.
You're
so hate racist.
It's too much coonery. Coonery.
He said it. Coon. He said it.
Coon.
What I could say coonery
exactly.
Because I'm a Negro.
Apparently Dave has a problem with that.
Let's
wrap this up. Episode 85. Some information.
I love our end of year stuff.
Yes. I hope you guys like this relaxed format because we won't be doing it again because I will be Mein Führer. I'll be German Nazi next week in 2 weeks.
Ach, die Himmel.
But we're obviously next Sunday is Christmas, Christmas Day, so we will not be recording. We will be back January 1st, or it will be January 3rd when the official episode is recorded, 2012, so we won't be back until the new year, which will be our best and worst show. Best and worst writer, best and worst blah, 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 blah. You know, and obviously you can tell what's probably going to be the best series for us, judging if you listen to this episode, and remove our jizz from it. So that expect that in 2 weeks. And of course, episode 100 is right around the corner, and then we hit 85. So, three more episodes, and we can travel into the future.
Woohoo!
Anybody get that?
Woohoo!
88 miles per hour. God damn it!
Yes.
To the future.
Great, Scott.
Butthead. Marty, we've got to go back to the future.
Your daughter married a black man. That doesn't really.
Oh my God!
I'm probably okay with that.
I love that.
She had butt sex.
I love Family Guy.
Really? Oh, okay. David Cage's daughter.
I don't think I feel comfortable around you anymore.
Taser, do you have anything?
That's not the storyline that they dropped.
Do you have anything special to say before we end our show, our last show of the year, Taser?
Yeah. I want to go out and have fun with Christy Yamaguchi and Guy Fieri to at least 5 different states. And all of the kick-ass places that he goes to eat, I would love to do that because I
fuck
love
Guy Fieri.
Dinest drivers.
It's an
dogs.
Old man dying wish, ladies.
That's fuck right, Guy an old Fieri. Man. But damn it, he has fun with the places he goes to. And the food is
he's still a douche.
Arnold, do you have anything? Arnold, do you have anything special to say on our last show of the year?
Yes. First and foremost, happy Chrismahana Kwanzaa to all, and Festivus for the rest of us, of course.
You know what? Fuck that noise. It's Merry fucking Christmas.
This is how I... No, see, regardless of the uptight, politically correct douchebags, I just like to be all-inclusive, and I'm also a fan of the word... I am also a fan of the word Chrisma Hanukkah Kwanzaa.
Sure you are.
Because I think it's great. Look.
I just wish the Hanukkah zombie. I don't know what all y'all are talking about.
By the way... You know, pull the stick out. I'm the gay one on this podcast, and you have more things up your ass than I ever will.
Holy shit!
Best show ever.
Facts.
I don't have anything to say to that. I'm speechless.
Knocking down my shit. You asked if Arnold had anything to say for the end of show. Not is there anything that Benjamin can bash.
You lost that sword fight with his ass. Wow, have we gone off the rails or what?
I mean, that's a record for us. Go ahead, continue then.
And the last piece of salt in the wound, which would have been the only salt in the wound, is Texas is still the home of the new Scarlet Spider.
Love you too, Arnold.
Love you too.
Brian, what about you? What does Boston have to happy about of 2012? What do you, anything special to say? It's been a bad year for y'all.
But not really. Well, yeah, sports-wise, we've been absolutely fucking... But hey, we debunked Tebow, so that was fun.
That's what she said.
Spit in the face of every Christian out there, so that brought a smile to my face. But, no, it's just, you know, nothing really special. I mean, I hope to see bigger and better things from Marvel next year, as always. You know, who doesn't? And I hope that the quality of the series that I'm loving right now, you know, continue on, because those are the ones I care about. So hopefully we'll see a continued trend of quality as far as Marvel's concerned, and hopefully the distinguished competition will be just as well, because I am not, you know, I'm not an isolationist. So, yeah, that's about that.
Way to be all formal and shit.
Well, fuck you then.
All right, well... After me getting pwned once again, it's proving Arnold's the only guy who can successfully pwn me without me saying good. I can't say I have nothing back. I have nothing back to say to Arnold.
I've gotten pretty good over that over my life.
Well, this is our last episode of the year. I hope everybody has a Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa. I don't actually know anybody who celebrates Kwanzaa, but if you do, happy of it. Happy Hanukkah. Whatever the Muslims celebrate, happy that. I don't know. Ramadan.
What a fun year.
Ramadan. I don't even know.
Fun year of podcasts.
Thank you for Spider Lantern, Gammer John, and I don't know who else listens. Wes,
Razor God this year for all the work on our website. Razor God needs to get some love for our message board and such. You put a lot of work into that, which we have been neglecting.
Even though he loves the Wii. And the Xbox
we have been neglecting our sites.
I'll give Razor God some love.
Yeah, he's got to get some love. We got to really step up the game on our websites in the next year, and definitely promise for more of that in the future.
Even though he sucks at gaming.
Speaking from the man who can't... Never mind, I can't even talk. I just can only hear from message board talk. I need to get an Xbox so I can play with y'all. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've said this already 15 times already.
Soul Calibur.
But... 343-0. We'll see y'all in 2012. Let the countdown to doomsday begin.
We're going to the future.
Happy New Year.
See ya, bitches!